This is the partner message and update, and it's for the month of March. I would say it's for spring in this year of 2024. And so we are here, Cheryl and I, to let you know what's going on and to what is going to happen and to leave a message with you. One thing I would like to begin with is to thank all of you for the way you have continued to support during this last year plus. It has been the most challenging year of our lives.
It has been.
And although we've made the report of the good news at each time we're being tested, but in between those times, there were, let's just say
challenges.
And the feeling of great oppression, and it was a battle for sure that we together went through. And one thing that amazes me in my experience of working with the body of Christ over the decades, but also it's been an amazing thing to many of my friends who are ministers and have been watching what was happening, that you have not forsaken us. And that might sound pretty obvious to some of you, but so many ministries, if they stop doing what they said they were going to do because of extended problems such as we've had, then people just say, well, that's it, I'm not supporting anymore. But you have stuck with us, and I thank you, everyone, that has faithfully given your offering, regardless of the fact I seem to have disappeared. And in the last weeks even, where although I've been very visible, I think, in our Sunday services, if you're a Zoomer, but I haven't been speaking up until this last Sunday. And so thank you. It seems very almost pathetic to say thank you so weak, but we mean it with all our hearts, and we have been upheld simply by you being there when we were in the middle of the battle and not able to even give you an update at that times. So thank you.
But I just want to say that when you have ministered, you have knocked it out of the park, because there have been messages, great messages. And so I don't know, you're in a new level. I guess the challenges have made you stronger as far as your meditation and your revelation skills, but we're all grateful that you're well.
Well, I have heard that before, and I have been somewhat aware of it, that the year with all of its challenges and twists and turns has done something very positive to me. And to put it this way, when you have to live what you preach in areas you had never even thought of, it really does something to you. You've been there and come back, and it shows up. And so thank you, Cheryl. That is very true.
Yeah.
And
because you do things on purpose. God's purposes, his intentions, work through all of it. So we're grateful.
So when we move on into the rest of this year, I plan to return, and maybe gradually, but return to ministering every Sunday in Bandera, which of course then that becomes the whatever you call it, webinars on Tuesday nights, And so we shall, I believe, be seeing more of each other in these incoming weeks. But until then, we're just giving thanks to you. Mm. And also, and although this has been done privately, but to say it publicly, I'm giving thanks for the guys that have been there.
Amazing.
Andrew and Marshall and Clint, who have just stepped up and taken the Sunday services. And again, what has amazed so many persons are the people who are there on Sunday has not decreased.
It's increased.
Increased. maybe I should stay away more. The three guys have found a place in the hearts of all of you. And I want to make that a public statement because it deserves it. And as to the rest of this year, really what I've just said is what we're absolutely planning. Just to settle in to Bandera, we're not planning any major excursions and journeys and meetings away from home and living in hotels and the rest of it.
That wears me out.
And so, yeah, well, I think it wears me out now as it didn't used to. Gone are the days when I pack a case that fits on my back and away to the jungle we go. Those days I do believe are gone. I don't know if I could do what I did back in those days. Tramping around the world and through the jungles and over the mountains and ministering to tribes who don't speak English and all the rest of it. They were glorious days, but I think they are behind me. I've got to remember my age.
These are your golden years.
Golden years.
Golden years.
Yeah.
And you're doing more writing. Your
books. Yes, which I was about to say.
Oh my goodness, those books are amazing.
In not traveling, I have been writing more. You might have noticed if you've been visiting on Amazon that we took some of the older books and radically brought them up to date, added chapters and insights that they are part of me, us, now. And I believe it has been a radical work in the message of the books. I take the one that was published decades ago on how I learned to meditate, and that emphasized the Word of God, as we fill our mind and our hearts with the Word of God, and then we put it into practice, which is very, very valid. But over the years, I have increasingly recognized that unless the Holy Spirit is your teacher, then all that is worthless. You can be dead as a dinosaur. If you just simply fill your mind with the Word of God, you've got to have God himself to be your teacher. And Jesus himself said, there are many things I can't share with you, but when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things. And so
remember,
I went back to my own story, which I'm not going to repeat here, because many have heard it many times. But in my very early teens, an experience of the Holy Spirit, literally, and it's a hackneyed expression, but I say very literally, changed my life. In a matter of 4 or 5 hours, I was transformed into another person and began speaking. And thereafter, the Holy Spirit became to me the person, not an experience, if you know what I mean. It's not having an experience of the Spirit. It's knowing the Spirit. It is not, as back in those days, many of the Pentecostals and charismatics was, have you got it? It's not an it, it's a person who doesn't follow the rules of a denomination, but he makes himself known to you in his own way for you. And that happened to me in my earliest teens, and it transformed my life, my future, right up to this present moment. And so I essentially went through that book again and put everything in perspective, that all this makes no sense unless the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And I might say that when we say the word teacher with the Holy Spirit, well, don't get the image of a Western teacher in a classroom giving a lecture and giving you an exam. All of that, please just dispense of it. It's of no use when we come to Scripture. The Holy Spirit, I believe, the nearest we can get in these days to what the Scriptures are talking about is coach. The Holy Spirit is our personal coach. We have granddaughters in Houston, and they're into sports, and every so often they will have a personal coach. That's away from the crowd, away from the team. They are coached on how to kick a ball, how to jump in the air or do whatever. But and then it shows that they suddenly, over the period of the coaching, become quite a different kind of player. And that impressed me is the way the Holy Spirit works. It's not giving you a lecture, but rather just you and the Holy Spirit. He teaches you how to live and be who you were always intended to be. In 1 Thessalonians what, chapter 4, it says that the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't exactly mention it. It just says you are taught of God to love one another, and loving one another sums up the entire Christian life. Mm-hmm. It says you are taught of God, and the rest of the New Testament would say taught of God is God the Holy Spirit. But mm-hmm. The taught of, the meaning of that is much closer to, as I say, a coach than to what we would understand by a teacher. And so he's our coach, he's our mentor, he's the one, or if I could put it rather clumsily, maybe teacher is the wrong word. He's the one who inside of us is the one who causes us to learn. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who throws in nuggets from the Greek sometimes, and he says the Holy Spirit is our learner. Mm-hmm. And I know what he means. The Holy Spirit doesn't merely give us facts, but he's also within us the receiver of the facts to tell us how it works. And we learn this Christian life and we live it. And the Holy Spirit is the one who begins it all, opening the eyes of our understanding. And so we have, and that book is now called, and I forget it every time,
The Spirit Brings Life.
The Spirit Brings Life. You can get it on Amazon. And that was followed, I think, by a brand new book.
I love this one.
Yeah, which is Reward and Punishment. Mm-hmm. Because religion and the Western world lives in this sort of Santa Claus world, where, you know, you better be good, you better whatever.
Reward.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Watch it, God's coming to town.
He's, right. Are you not getting nothing?
That's right. Nothing for you.
Cool.
And people actually believe that. And so it's all a matter of reward. I do good. I take the initiative. I get the old man's eyes. I do something that causes him to notice me, and then I'm rewarded with that mm-hmm. big thing on Christmas Day. That is so well, I was going to say satanic. People might be upset by that. Well, now I've gone and said it. But I say that because that's exactly...
That's true.
That is the essence of the original sin of the Garden of Eden. You shall be as gods. You shall produce your own salvation and get God's attention. Mm-mm-mm. And of course, if you don't do that, then you'll be punished. And so you live in this tightrope of reward and punishment. And I really, sometimes it breaks my heart to see these people going forward in churches every Sunday, every Wednesday, because they're never sure.
Then
they always, am I on the reward side of the ledger book? Mm. Or am I doing something that cancels the rewards and does the punishment? Well, I take that and I trust make it a lot more interesting than my last sentence here. But beginning with the grace of God, we move through the New Testament on this. And of course, it's very shocking to us, very shocking, because the rest of life is about reward and punishment. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get a promotion at work, you've got to earn it. If you're going to get your scores at school, you've got to earn them, pass the exams. And here we suddenly come on something that's totally upside down. And anyway, that's reward and punishment. Mm-hmm. And I am presently writing a book on the Eucharist. That I'm not telling you when that will be out, because there's a lot of research there. But sometime before Christmas, it will be out, I'm sure. People come to our retreats, and they come to our Sunday service here in Bandera. And when it's all said and done, they only say how much the Eucharist either changed their life or was a tremendous coming upon an oasis in a desert. People will talk about what happened to them as they, either in our retreat or in our meetings together on Sunday, they say what happened to them at the Eucharist. And many times they forget what I said. Huh. And when they call the office to order the CDs, they say, it's whatever he said that time when we had the Eucharist. Okay. So I decided that it was time to write it down, because so many people do not understand what the Eucharist is all about.
But I love the fact that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So the Holy Spirit is so much in the Eucharist that he helps us remember, you know, he takes us back there. And it's very alive, very alive.
Yeah.
I've experienced this presence.
It's... doubly interesting for what Cheryl just said, because when Cheryl married me, she was not familiar with the Eucharist as we celebrate. And so it's been a journey for her. And when
now I did communion.
Yes.
And I carried communion with me and, just an intimate time. But the Holy Spirit's the one that brings it.
Right. Cheryl just mentioned the remember, and making reference to the Greek and Hebrew understanding of remember, which you might have heard me talk about, which is not trying to have a fuzzy memory of something that happened, but actually replaying something that was in another time, but is now brought into my time, and it plays afresh and again. We do it again. And in that, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. Mm-hmm. And what was ancient history has now become a living reality right in front of me. And that's the Eucharist. But I say I'm writing a book, and I'm covering all of this. And so you will be told that. Do not call the office and ask if it is. Because no one has any idea when it will be published.
No, it's a process, isn't it?
Yeah, and when it is, I'll let you know. And you can be ready to rush to Amazon and buy the book. And of course, there's Cheryl's book that she too has written while we were in and out of the hospitals. And
I just wrote a book about, well, it was a testimony of my life and reflections of a redeemed heart and to love again, and how God caused, how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit healed me of all those years of abuse. And I'm just grateful that we have a tool also that we can send into the prisons, to the women. The last few years, I haven't gone back in because I've been with Malcolm in the hospitals, and you know, COVID was very prevalent, and they were making us take the vaccination. And so I haven't gone back in, but the book will go back in. So I'm excited about that. And
yeah, and what has been exciting to me as an observer is the number of women who were inmates when Cheryl was chaplain down there in Houston. And when the book came out, they found out and
got a hold of me on Facebook, I'm under my old name on Facebook, so they can find me when they get out of prison. Yeah. So
it was exciting. And of course, I think I've told you before, when we go into many restaurants, many of the waitresses are ex-prisoners. You'd never know it. But as soon as they get any realization that Cheryl was a chaplain in the prisons, they just open up and pour out their heart. And Cheryl has been handing out books in restaurants like candy to these women.
Holy Spirit says to do it. So April 1st is my anniversary of my ministry, 39 years.
39 years. April the 1st.
Yeah, April Fool's Day. you know, I said I'll be a fool for Christ. Yeah.
39 years.
Yeah.
That would be true to say the 39 years were spent mostly in jail.
Jails and prisons, because I volunteered at the jails till I became the staff chaplain at Harris County Jail in Houston, which was the third largest jail in the nation. So it was a big deal. Yeah. And I got to meet and love on so many. And
yeah, many of the women, they're on death row. And when their crimes were made known, you probably read about them in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And as you were reading in the newspaper, Cheryl was sitting down with those women. Mm-hmm. And it was their first meeting. Yeah. And then from there, they went to death row. And Cheryl ministered to them on a regular basis.
Because the Holy Spirit meets them wherever they are. Wherever you are, you may even, because those women judged themselves and they didn't like themselves, but the Holy Spirit still was coming after them. So, beautiful.
Beautiful indeed. And one more thing that has emerged is that we are now on TV, it's, I know nothing about this except what I'm talking in.
It's a podcast.
We make it a podcast, but it's time on the TV, but it's in Roku. And I believe that's enough for most people these days to understand what I'm talking about.
Right.
So you get a TV, and some of them are with Roku in it already. Or you can purchase the whatever to get it on Roku.
I don't think we better go there because we're not too smart.
I don't know what I'm talking about. But I know is we are on there. And
we're on the GAN network.
Yes,
GAN. Grace Awakening
Network. And it's... Well, it's just started March 1st, and we have 1 hour a week during the day, but then we are 1 hour in the early hours of the morning on another day, which I think is from 3 to 4. And it's interesting because, you see, it's very interesting that over here, when I say we're going to take that, that's the cheapest. If you're buying time on TV, the cheapest is at 3 in the morning, because in their book, nobody's watching. But the fact is, this Roku broadcasts out across the world. And so when it's 3 in the morning to 4 here, in England and Northern Europe, it is in the morning, mid to late morning, which is prime time. And so across Europe, we're getting prime time for our program.
Right.
But we're paying American time, which is 3 in the morning, and therefore very inexpensive.
Right, so but they can actually stream it. So every program, even if you've missed some of our programs, you can go down and stream every program and look at it.
Right.
So I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Again, I'm not used to that, but Cheryl has explained it to me.
No, that's because...
You put it this way, you cannot miss a program. If you miss it when it's being actually broadcast, you go to this other thing and you can stream it and get everything we've ever said on TV. So that is now beaming out. It's been out now since the 1st of March, and it's an exciting new adventure. And that's...
Yeah, and we just talk like we do here on the apartment today and talk about subjects.
Yeah, the one during the day, that's when I just speak. But then the one that's beamed around the world at that early hour, it's both of us. And so this is what is filling our day, but I don't move from my desk, which I find that fascinating. Maybe others wouldn't. But where we stand today in terms of technology, it is an amazing. I remember tramping through the jungle in northern Nigeria and coming to this place and, I've got to first of all fly to get to Nigeria, then I've got to go in all manner of ways into the jungle and finally come to this place where you've got to have an interpreter and you've got to stay there long enough to make it all worthwhile before you turn around and go back to civilization and so on. Well, in today's world, I have some of those natives from that village in our Bible school, in that they come on Zoom. Don't ask me how they got Zoom in the middle of the jungle, but it's 2024, and I guess that's it. But we can be literally all over the world instantaneously after we do this, where we're speaking to you. We will be speaking directly on Zoom to a pastor in Australia. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible. As I say the word, it's immediately heard. He doesn't have to wait till it's processed. Mm-hmm. Immediately, we're having a conversation over thousands of miles. And in fact,
they're doing Bible school.
They're doing Bible school over there. We have a full-blown Bible school in Australia that works the same as the one we have here. So I want you to know that although we're not traveling as we used to, all of the offerings that you have so faithfully sent and are sending, they are enabling us to do this, because it is your offerings that enable me to sit here and do what I'm doing. It enables us to have retreats where your offerings fill in all the cracks. We are underscored, what's the word? You're holding us up to do what we couldn't do otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly when it comes to the TV, it is your offerings that enabled me just to walk in and claim a spot, because I had your offerings to put down and secure it. And so that goes on.
And their prayers. Well, their prayers for what we've been through this last year. And we could have been just so discouraged, but I don't know if you listened to one of our webinars, Do Not Bow. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing, because Holy Spirit showed me, you know, that it, you know, how weak Malcolm had been. He'd been in bed for a whole month at the hospital, and I stayed in a cot in the corner of the room. But the Lord had given me a vision one time of a wrestling ring and told me to step into the ring of life and do not bow to your opponent. Bow only unto me. Do not bow to fear. And seriously, the challenges that we've gone through this year and having your prayers and your support, we're just very grateful.
Yeah, there are times when, as y'all are praying, we could feel it physically just sort of holding us up. It's hard to put into words, but what I'm trying to say is that it isn't a wispy, ethereal something. It is very tangible. And I say again, as you pray, we have felt literally your arms entwined with the arms of the Holy Spirit holding us up and carrying us through.
Yes.
And being our strength. And so that is so true.
Mm.
Well, I want to share with you, and it is something very... In fact, I almost started doing it a few minutes ago. But in 1 John, and if we had time, like in verse 10, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." What has excited me in the last few hours as I mulled over our doing this, in this is love, not, this is a massive not, that we loved God. It doesn't begin with us loving God. This is God's love, not that we loved God. And then he responded to our love. But it says that he loved us. It began with him. And then in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Mm-hmm. We could, that this is foundational to the New Testament. It's not just something wrapped up in John, although I think he's the clearest in saying it. Mm-hmm. But it is foundational. You find it everywhere, beginning, of course, with Jesus and everything he said and did. He begins it. Now, most of you listening, if that's all you hear, you will just say amen to that. You've been around us long enough that you know that's the foundation of our message. But what I want you to do is let the thing, what, give you a punch in the gut, because this is so utterly different to anything, underscore that, anything that religion in any form, not only in this country but around the world, any religion, to them this is backwards. Any religion begins with you. You have to do something. Mm-hmm. You are the one that gets God's attention. Mm-hmm. You are the one that by your action earn or deserve whatever part of salvation we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But here it is, it covers everything that we call salvation and says it does not begin with you. Now, I say, let that sink in. It's scandalous. Mm-hmm. It's certainly shocking that whatever it is you are facing this moment, whatever it is that you would sort of bring to your mouth to ask for, it doesn't begin with you. Your request doesn't begin with you. Certainly, when you receive anything from God, it didn't begin with you at all. Herein is love. This is God's love. Not that you loved him. It isn't that you did some act of love, some work of love or something like it. And then God says, well, that's a jolly good show, you know, and pats you on the back and says, now we can talk. Or as I heard a pastor of a certain denomination said publicly that because a person had said the sinner's prayer last week, he said, now God can love that person.
Oh, my goodness.
To me, that's blasphemy. And I use that word very carefully, blasphemy. That is making gospel not gospel. It is the same old. You do something that is extraordinary enough to get God's attention, and then God kicks in. you know, my first car, well, I won't go there, that would be a rabbit trail. But, my first car wasn't too far from the Model T Ford. It was, but I've seen my first car in antique car shows, and that's enough said. But it didn't have a starter. Do you remember those cars? There'd be a few of you out there that would. But when I started my car, I was in front of it, and I had an enormous handle in my hand, and I had to fit that into the engine slot, and then with all my strength begin to turn the engine over at a speed that it would kick in. I was solely responsible for getting my car started. Other times we would push it to the top of a hill and put it in gear and let it roll down, and it would. Yeah, I know this is like speaking Arabic to some of you, but to sit in a car today and Well, you hardly have to start it. The car knew you were coming. You can start the car from your living room window.
It stops by itself.
Yes, and also it knows when to brake. Where I'm coming from, it all depended on me. The car, whatever its powers were once it got started, were unable to start until I initiated the whole thing with quite a bit of sweat and sometimes blood if you didn't get that handling right. And so people look at salvation very much the same way. That I have to do something, and so many times your Sunday service is all on that. Mm-hmm. No, you've got to do this because you didn't do that, you didn't do that, you didn't do that, so you must be a backslider. So now you've got to do to get, oh. Well, you know, any religion in the world would agree with that. That's religion, that's what it does. It starts with you. And once you do the magic thing, whatever it is, you've got God's attention, then God Almighty kicks in. And it's amazing what can happen then. But you have to do the starting work. You've got to do it. Well, this is the gospel. And I know I'm talking to the choir in many respects, but others I'm not so sure. That we still have, it's amazing how these lies that we were taught, lies that religion taught us, and they're like a vine that clings to the bricks of your house and it gets in between the bricks and it, you just can't get, the vine is there and you can't get rid of it. And so many times the lies of religion, because they're so, well, it seems so right. Mm. Or as scripture said, there is a way that seems right unto man, but really it's the ways of death. Mm-hmm. It seems so right. You've got to do something. And surely if you, this little creature, you want the help of God Almighty, then you've got to do the right thing, say the right thing, and do it to the point of sweat, blood, and tears. You know, fast for a few weeks and on he goes. And for me to sit here and say that we love because he first
loved us.
He started this thing. We didn't. We did not love an unknown God and hope that he would notice us and introduce himself to us. We love, that's the Christian life, but we only love because he first loved us. And if he didn't first love us, we wouldn't even know what it looks like.
Oh my. I've got to say something because I think about what you talked about earlier, the Holy Spirit being our coach. Mm-hmm. You know, most people, you know, they want to excel, you know, and the coach, you know, is teaching them, and they kind of see themselves in the eyes of the coach, you know.
Yeah.
And it is so important for us to be eye to eye, not in religion, but have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that we can actually see ourselves in the eye of our coach. You know, I love that because, you know, they want to please their coach, and the coach is always lifting them up and affirming them and saying, you know, victory is yours, you know. And so that's how I feel about the Holy Spirit. God's intention, he puts the Father's intention, gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us. And we live and move and have our very being in him. So when we feel loved and we conceive that love, we can excel at everything we do.
Yeah.
It's God's intention.
Yeah, it's actually, I said something like that on Sunday.
Yes.
That you discover your true self by discovering God.
Yes.
It's not the other way around.
Yeah, not seeing yourself. Oh, you were speaking on grasshoppers. They saw themselves as grasshoppers, therefore their enemy saw them as grasshoppers too. Right. So we know the Holy Spirit's the only one, you know. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah, they said they were grasshoppers because they were looking at themselves.
Yeah.
But
they judged themselves as grasshoppers.
If they had been looking at the God who had revealed himself to them, mm-hmm. then they would have seen themselves as they really were.
Yes, that's what
so
I mean.
So look at themselves without looking through the lens of who God is.
Yeah, even through their own, because they have this voice that goes off and says, no, you're not good enough. Religion seems to brainwash, you know, a lot of people, but Holy Spirit brings us love from the Father, so.
Yeah, it all begins. The Father, and you just said, the Father's intention.
Yes.
Many times people don't realize our salvation. In saying he's first, he was so first that there was nothing else. Mm-hmm. Because God did not start loving us when he made us. He made us because he made us to be loved. Mm-hmm. And so before creation, the Bible speaks of the intention. Mm-hmm. And that intention of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit was that there would be creation, but then mankind would be created, made, and in that, they're made to love. They're not, when I say made to love, to be loved. God made you and I to love us. Mm-hmm. He started this. Mm-hmm. We do catch up. We have a revelation of who he is.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't even love ourselves if it weren't for his love.
Without God's revelation, I neither know who I am, nor can I love myself. In fact, I loathe myself many times because I don't see myself as God sees me. And again, that it isn't that I do something in order to see how God looks at me. Mm. God is looking at us. So, yes. I'll put it this way, which is a bit wild to some people, but in many respects, the whole life of God with mankind is as a dance. You know, there's in a dance, there is the lead, and then the one who follows the lead. And so there's a movement this way, a movement that way, and it's all in beautiful harmony and symphony. Mm-hmm. And so the dance is that God reveals himself to us. God shows himself as love, and he is in the act of loving us, even when we had not a clue who he was and didn't want to know. And and he's moving toward us, and then our eyes are open and we move in response. And everything that we do in the Christian life is a response to his love. If it is not a response, if it is my trying to make him do something, if it's an initiation, then it's not, that just falls hopelessly by the wayside.
No, we need to rest in him and follow his lead.
Follow his lead. And in following his lead, that's a response. Mm-hmm. And so you see, I hear people and they'll say the promise, a lot of this you'll get on in media, they say God is giving us thus and so. But they'll immediately come in and say, if we repent, if we believe, which... there's a place to talk about that, but that's not the place. Mm-mm. Because the what is being said there's a price to this. Mm-hmm. And the price is repentance and faith on your part. And so I've asked many people, you know, tell me about your salvation. And they'll immediately go and say, well, they had faith and repented and then God saved them. Well, it's no wonder they go forward every week, because if it depends on my faith to initiate this thing, if it depends on how much I repent to get God's attention, I'll forever be played. Was it enough? Was it enough? And so, no, it all begins with Him. And my faith is I'm trusting the love that He's revealed Himself to be. He first loved. Now I trust that love. And so I get into, it's as if I've been asleep on the dance floor and the dance is going on all around me. And then I wake up by the work of the Holy Spirit and I get up and join the dance. But it's been going on for the length of the world, and I just was blind to it. And so I don't turn from sin because it's part of the formula. You see the love of God and you realize there's a whole part of my life that just doesn't fit the dance. And so, anyway, take that and meditate upon it. Let it become part of your life today.
Amen.
Don't think you can get God to start doing something. Stop trying to turn the handle to turn the engine. Realize He already is everything you're asking Him to be.
Yes.
He first. I respond, I give thanks, and I'm the one that receives, I'm responding. Okay, well again, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for all of the blessings you have sent us financially and in prayer. And thank you for making this last year the triumphant year it's ended up to be.
Yes.
And so we'll keep you posted. And we'll be back to share these things with you, our partners, yes, in Christ Jesus.
We bless you.
Amen.